of God or not of God. That would describe you and I in one of those two groups, of God or not of God. Verse 47, he that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. I know that if I am preaching God's word, not my opinion or my thoughts or my slant on God's word, but God's word, I know that if I am preaching God's word, every believer in the world will be in agreement with what I'm saying. No dissidents. How can you say that? Because of what the Lord said, he that's of God heareth God's words. Every one of them. He says, you therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Let's go back to verse 31 and see the context of him making this statement. Let's begin in verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Now, I have to say, we've seen this the last couple of weeks, these same people who believed at the end of this message will pick up rocks to stone him to death. But at this time, they believed. If you would have asked them if they believed, they would say, yes, I do. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. And the slave abides not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now he says to these people who said they believed, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. They prove themselves to not be disciples indeed by that response. Now, what he says is probably the most searing indictment against the Pharisees that he ever made, other than that passage in Matthew chapter 23 when he said to the Pharisees, and let me say this about the Pharisees, that's the natural man's religion. That's your natural religion. The word Pharisee means a separated one. The natural man thinks there's something they can do that will separate them from other men. Separated one. What a perfect example of what our human religion is. We think something we do can separate us from others and bring us into heaven. Look what he says to these people in verse 44. We'll come back to this in a minute. But these people who were said to believe, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." That's strong language. You are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now go back to verse 37. He says to these people, "I know that you're Abraham's seed. I know that you're physical descendants of Abraham. There's no doubt about that. You're Jews, claiming all the privileges of being a Jew. I know that. I know you're Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you." Now, they would, by the end of this message, seek to kill him. They would pick up rocks to throw at him and to put him to death. And he looks at these people and he says, "You seek to kill me. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not spiritual Abraham's seed." I want to read you a passage from Genesis chapter 18. Verse 17, I'll read it to you. You can turn there if you want. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." Now, does this mean he was a great parent? I'd like to be a parent like that, and you would too, that you could make sure your children did what was right. But this is not talking about his physical descendants, because for one thing, if that's the case, that wouldn't be true, because the Jews were, like you and I, evil. Like you and I, evil. This is not talking about good parenting. This is talking about his spiritual seed that will believe the gospel. He said, "Now I know you're Abraham's seed, but you're not his spiritual seed." And then he brings this indictment against them: "You seek to kill me." You hated me, and your hatred of me is so complete that you want my death. Now that describes me and you by nature. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind would take God's place. The carnal mind would put God off his throne and take his place. That is the mind me and you were born with. Enmity, hatred of the living God. The cross is the proof of that. Don't say, "Well, I don't feel that way." Well, look at the cross and you'll find out that's what you are. That's what I am. He said, "You seek to kill me, and here's why: because my word hath no place in you. It's not received by you. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither indeed can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." Now he looks at these people who claim to be Abraham's seed and temporarily at least believed on him. He said, "You're seeking my death because of your hatred of me. And number two, my word has no place in you." It doesn't find any place of affinity with you. Verse 38 of John chapter 8, he says, "I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your Father." Now the Lord says, "I speak as the Father speaks." As God, he speaks what he had seen with his Father, preaching, declaring the very word of God. "And you do that which you've seen of your Father," like Father, like Son. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham's children. Now it's true, they were physically Abraham's children. I love that passage of scripture. Hold your finger there and turn with me to Romans 9. Verse 6, it's not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Just because someone was born a physical Jew, that doesn't make them a Jew. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. The children of the children of the promise. You know what that means? The elect. The elect. They are the true children of God. Now back to John chapter 8. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You prove that you're not his seed. And then he says in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You do the deeds of your father. God's our father. Now listen to me. God is not everybody's father. Only the believer can pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. A child of God prays to his heavenly Father, birthed by his Father. A child of God. And the Lord says to these people, you do the deeds of your father. Your father's not God. You do the deeds of your father. Like I said in verse 44, it says you're of your father the devil. Verse 41, they said unto him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They didn't understand his language. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, this is verse 42, if God were your Father, you'd love me. It's that simple. Look what he says, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now the language is so mysterious, it's so glorious. He said, I proceeded forth from God. Now, he's a separate person from God, but he's God. In the beginning was the Word was with God. As a distinct person, the Word was God. If I took this glass of water and poured it into another cup, that water would proceed from this. It'd be the same water, though, wouldn't it? Same H2O, same properties. God is who he is. Jesus Christ is God. The scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. How glorious this person is. I proceeded forth from God. I came from God. That's my origin. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. And then he asked this question. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. My word has no place in you. And you cannot. You lack the ability to hear. You can hear audibly. Just like those murmurs in John chapter 6 where he said, when they murmured at him, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Who can be expected to listen to this kind of stuff? They heard what he said audibly, but they didn't hear with hearing ears, because only those who have ears to hear, that he's given ears to hear. Oh, Lord, give me ears to hear. Don't leave me to myself. Don't leave me to my own thoughts and understanding. Give me these ears to hear. Now, he says to these people, the reason that you cannot understand my speech is because you cannot. You lack the ability to hear my word. The seeing eye and the hearing ears of the Lord. I hope every one of us will ask the Lord right now, Lord, give me ears to hear. I will not hear except you give me ears to hear the glory of your gospel. Now look what he says to these people in verse 44. You're of your father, the devil. Now, I can't look at somebody and say you're of your father, the devil, because I don't know. I hope you're of God. I hope I'm of God. But I can't look at somebody and say you're of your father, the devil. Now, I can say this. If you die, if I die in unbelief, not believing the gospel, not bowing the knee to Christ, the devil's my father. Such strong language. I know it is. If you're outside of Christ, if you don't believe Christ, listen to this, you're of your father, the devil, Satan. And he says, the lusts of your father you will do. Those who are of God have God as their father. Those who do not believe have the devil as their father. And this describes all who do not believe. He said, you're of your father, the devil, verse 44, and the lusts, the desires of your father, you will do. That's what you want to do. The devil wanted to kill him, didn't he? That's what he was seeking to do. And that's what these people were seeking to do. They had no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now, Adam wasn't the first person to fall. The devil was. He was an angel of God. And he fell from that place. You can read about it in Isaiah chapter 14. He wanted to take God's place. He said, I'll exalt my throne above God. And that's what every natural man wants to do. This is the issue. If it were in my power, if God left me to myself and it were in my power, I'd put Christ off the throne and take his place. I'd want to be the one there. That's what every natural man is guilty of. And the devil was the first one to fall from this place. Now he says in verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now I want you to think about this statement. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. And you believe me not. Unbelief is a choice. If you do not believe, it is because you choose not to believe. I'm not going to believe that. I do not believe that. Now, if you believe the truth, you do not choose to believe the truth. You believe the truth because it's true. It's not a choice you make. You don't think, well, I think I'm going to believe it. No, you believe something because it's true. You really believe it's true. That's why you believe. If you do not believe, it's because you choose not to believe. And that's what makes unbelief so intrinsically, essentially, and fundamentally evil. Every sin comes from this sin, unbelief. It's the mother of all other sins. And it is a choice. That's why it's so bad. You choose to not believe. To not believe Him who is the truth. He's the one who tells the truth concerning who God is, who we are, how God saves by Christ. He tells the truth. And you don't believe? He said, if I tell the truth, because I tell the truth, you believe me not. Now, if I leave this place not believing, it's because I've chosen not to believe. That's the only reason. That's why men are responsible. Don't think, well, if God didn't elect me, I'm not held responsible for my sin. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Your unbelief is a choice. Now he makes this statement in verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? You know, he's the only one who could ever say that. Nobody else could make that claim. If you're around me for 5 minutes, you're going to be able to convince me of sin. you'll see something. I'll see something in you. But the Lord could say, nobody here can convince me of sin. And there's one reason. He never sinned. He never had a sinful thought. He never had a sinful motive. He never had a sinful action. He never had a sinful desire. And he could look at these people and say, which of you convinces me of sin? You can't do it. I'm without sin. Every believer knows that. The thief knew it. The thief on the cross said, this man had done nothing amiss. You see, if you know him, you know for sure that he's never sinned because of who he is. Which of you convinces me of sin? And then he asks this question in verse 46. And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? And then he gives the answer. And this is what I entitled this message. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. The title of this message is Of God or Not of God. Which one am I? Am I of God or am I not of God? Now he'd already said to these people, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Like father, like son. The acorn doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? You're of your father, the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. Now, he describes two kinds of people. Of God or not of God. And I love the way the scripture always makes things clear. It's always two. There's never a third party. One or the other. Righteous or wicked. Saved or lost. Born of God or not born of God. Nothing to get confused about. One or the other. Children of God or children of the devil. Believers or unbelievers. Sheep or goats. Tares or wheat. Now, the preposition of God or not of God, the preposition of denotes origin, possession, and relationship. Those three things. Who you're of tells of your origin, who you belong to, and your relationship to that one you belong to. Of God were not of God. To be of God means I'm from Him. Now that's mysterious. I realize that. You know, I'm from Ashland, Kentucky. No, I'm not. That's not my origin. My origin, I'm from God. This denotes possession. I belong to Him. You know, there's a psalm, a verse in Psalm 119 where the psalmist says, I'm thine, save me. I'm thine. I belong to Him. Oh, I belong to Him so infinite. I'm His. And it speaks of relationship. I'm His son. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Now that's what that little preposition denotes. Your origin, who you belong to, and your relationship with that one to whom you belong. Of God. He that is of God heareth God's words. That's why I can say, I know if I'm preaching the word of God, you're going to be in complete agreement if you're of God. Because he that's of God heareth God's words. I'm not going to say you're going to believe everything I say because I say it. If it's just my words or my opinion or my take on something, you might say, well, I don't believe that. I don't blame you. I don't either. I don't know what I'm saying. If I'm preaching God's word, he that's of God heareth God's words. Salvation is what of the Lord. Now, if I'm of God, that means that God placed me in Christ before the foundation of the world. That salvation which is of the Lord, election of the Father. If I'm of God, that means I was in the Lord Jesus Christ when He died. The Father gave me to the Son. The Son took full responsibility for my salvation. What a thought. Jesus Christ took complete responsibility for me to save me. He died for me on the cross. If I'm of God, Jesus Christ died for me. If I'm of God, I'm born of God. I have been given life by God the Holy Spirit. Birth of God. To be of God is to be chosen of God, eternally loved by God. It's to have Jesus Christ die for me. It's to have God the Holy Spirit give me the life of God in my heart, the life of God in my soul. Of Him, listen to this scripture, of Him are you in Christ Jesus. And not everybody's in Christ. But everybody's in Christ who of Him they're in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption of God. That means I'm united to Christ. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause He's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now if I'm of God, that means I'm eternally of the Lord Jesus Christ, eternally united to Him, eternally in Him. To be of God is to be born of God. Now turn with me to John 1. Verse 12. But as many as received Him. Now let me say this. If I'm saved, I receive Him. I embrace him. There's no salvation apart from receiving his person. As many as received him. Well, what in the world does that mean to receive him? I mean, I've never seen him physically. I can't tell you what he looks like. What do you mean, receive him? Well, John tells us immediately. Here's who they are. Even to them which believe on his name. Now, this is what it is to receive Christ. You believe on his name. You believe his name is the only reason why the Father will accept you. That's what you believe. You believe on his name. You know that his name is the name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. And the only name you plead as to why you would be forgiven or saved is his name. You understand, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not for your sake, not because of something you've done, but for Christ's sake. That's the only reason. And you know that. Those are the people who receive him. They believe on his name. Now, how did they get to that place where they believed on his name? Well, let's go on reading in verse 13, which were born. That's so important. If you're of God, you were born of God. You were birthed of God. How do you get that way? Which were born, not of blood, children, you who have believing parents, you will not be saved because your parents believe. It's not in the bloodline. Which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. You will not be born because a bunch of people got together and said, we're going to pray through until they're born again. Now, we should pray for one another, and we should pray for the spiritual birth of those around us. But people are not born again because of the prayers of people getting together. I'm going to pray for you. Now, I want to pray for you. I want you to pray for me. But my prayers, God works through those prayers, but they don't cause the birth which were born. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. If you're born again, it's not because you decide to become born again. It's not because of some kind of act of your will. Free will is the biggest lie there is. It is the lie. They were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. If you're of God, you're born of God, birthed by God, fathered by God. To be of God is to be eternally united to Christ. It's to be born of God. It's to possess the righteousness of God. The Lord said their righteousness is of me. If I'm of God, that means the very righteousness of God is mine. And I stand before God in his own righteousness. That's why there's nothing to fear with regard to judgment. My righteousness is the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul said, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I can look forward to judgment day because I've got the righteousness of God as my personal righteousness before God. What a glorious thing. To be of God is to have God in you. 1 John 4:12, God dwelleth in us. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. To be of God is to have the living God by His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, dwelling in me. To be of God is to have God as your teacher. And they shall all be taught of God. Now, when you believe the gospel, it's because God's been your teacher. He Himself has taught you who He is, who you are, who His Son is, and made you to rely on Him completely. See, He's such an effectual teacher. I've never preached a message where I have gone away thinking, I wish I would have said this, and maybe things would have been... Every message I ever preach, there's an element of frustration with it because I didn't say things the way they should have been said. I didn't say things with the proper earnestness, the proper brokenness, the proper persuasiveness, the whatever. That doesn't matter. If God teaches His Word, everything's fine. If I'm of God, I'm taught of God. To be of God is to see God. Not that no man has seen God at any time, but here's what we see. The Lord said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And this is something that everybody that's of God sees. They see that Jesus Christ is God. And they rely on Him as God their Savior. They see who He is. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, the seed of God, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he is born of God. Now, if I'm of God, I've got a man, a nature, a holy nature that cannot commit sin. That doesn't say he doesn't practice sin. It says he doesn't commit sin. That's the new man. He does not commit sin. He's holy. Birthed by God. Turn to chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There's that statement again. And every, verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Now let's think about this word confess. You know what the word confess means? It means to speak the same thing. You speak the same thing God does. You know, people thought, well, if you commit suicide, you can't be saved because you weren't alive to confess the sin, and you can't be saved unless you confess all your sins. That's not what confession means. Confession means to agree with what God says. And it's to do so publicly. Every spirit that's of God confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. I love the simplicity of that. He was before he came. We believe he's eternal God. He came in the flesh. He became man. And whatever it was he did when he came in the flesh to do, he did. He accomplished salvation. And we confess that. Everybody that's of God, that is a summary of everything they believe regarding the person and work of Jesus Christ. Everyone that's not of God, they don't make this same confession that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And they don't confess that. They don't really believe it. They don't believe in his character as God-man and that he did what he came to do. Now, what is the one evidence that somebody's of God? This is why I want to close with this thought. What is the one evidence that I'm with God? I'm of God. He that's of God heareth God's words. You hear them. You believe them. You rely on them. The gospel. And then he says to these people, you therefore hear them not. You're bucking at this. And here's the reason. You're not of God. Now that's plain language. That's simple language. It's lovely language too, isn't it? May God give every one of us the grace to hear God's words and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for your words. And Lord, we will not and cannot hear them unless you cause us to be of you. And Lord, our prayer is that we may win Christ and be found in him. We ask that you would give us the grace to hear your words, to receive your words as good news, to believe your words altogether. Now, Lord, bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray.